This is the Creating the Future podcast, and I'm your host, Jordan Kraus. This episode is sponsored by Financial Planning First, LLC. Investment planning, retirement planning, college planning, and estate planning. Visit their website for more information at www.financialplanningfirst.com. I'm joined today by our middle school and elementary PE teachers, Tim Hall, Andreas Hackman. How are you guys doing?
Doing pretty good.
Yeah, excited to be here.
Excellent. Yes. Talk athletics, PE, coaching, things that the two of you can relate to really well. Tell us about your journeys as athletes, as PE teachers, and coaches.
Okay, I'll go ahead and start. So I guess the athletic journey started when I was really young, just playing all kinds of sports, baseball, soccer, football, basketball, in SYS. I don't know if that's still a thing, but just team activities, team sports, and that kind of grew my love for not only baseball, but being outside and being around just teams and different cultures in general. I played at Empire High School, 4 years over there, graduated in 2015, and then went to Pima Community College, played 2 years of baseball over there, and went and played my next 2 years up in Minot State University, Division II, NSIC conference, and we won our conference actually my junior year, got a ring, and then senior year I was captain. But it was fun going up there and experiencing a whole new environment, culture shock. But at the end of the day, we had, our team, and I was able to get a good education up there and kind of mold my future and see what possibilities were out there.
And you played some baseball after college too, didn't you?
I did. I played the summer in California, and then I played indie ball, independent baseball, for the San Rafael Pacifics. It's funny, they actually won their league last year.
Oh, nice.
They beat my buddy's team, the Tucson Saguaros, in the championship game over there. But yeah, a little pro ball, and then I'm coaching right now. Going on my fifth year over at Saguaro High School. I've been an assistant there. I was an assistant for about 3 years. This is my second year as head coach. And it's a whole different experience being on the other side of the game, but it's something that it's new, and it's something that I can learn something new every day, take away from and grow. Which is really fun, and it allows me to bring those experiences here to TCDS.
Nice. Nice. Tim, how about you?
Well, I grew up playing baseball. My grandfather, actually, he coached high school basketball up in the Phoenix area. My dad got into coaching, too. He coached high school football. He coached high school basketball and also wrestling. So it's kind of just something that I was born into, and I grew up playing baseball, and I love playing baseball. I actually got pulled out of sports my freshman year of high school. I was diagnosed with a heart condition, so they wouldn't let me compete anymore, and that's kind of what got me into helping out with coaching. I started working at Saguaro. Like, I kept stats for games and got to do a lot there, see a lot with Coach Brad Baker when he was there coaching. And then I went to the U of A and ended up majoring in education and minoring in athletic coaching, and graduated from the U of A. My degree is in social studies with my minor in coaching, and it took a while to find a job. I ended up at Tucson Country Day School. They were looking for an elementary PE teacher, and I thought it would be a great way to get experience. And we didn't have a sports program at the time. This is now my 20th year at Tucson Country Day School. We only went up to sixth grade at the time. And we had like a co-ed basketball team that very first year that I was there that played, I don't even remember what other school we played. And the very next year, Michael Rubin came in and he started teaching in fifth grade, and he got us into the Tucson Independent Athletics League. And we got in right away. We formed girls basketball and boys basketball, and it's been 19 years of coaching ever since then.
So the TIAL, right? That's the league that our school competes in.
Yeah, the Tucson Independent Athletics League. When we first joined, it was the small league that had like La Paloma and River of Life, Fountain of Life, a bunch of really small schools. And it only took 3 years for us to kind of build up our sports program to where the point where we were too good really for that conference. We were like that. They weren't going to push us competitively and really get the most out of our athletics players. So we moved up to this bigger league with Push Ridge and the Gregory School and St. Michael's, where they've got bigger schools, more athletes, and better competition for our student athletes. I think it's been a really positive move for them.
So what sports do we compete in the TIL?
So we have three distinct sports seasons. In the fall, we've got volleyball for girls and then co-ed flag football. In the winter, we have co-ed soccer and girls softball. And then in the spring, we have boys and girls basketball.
Nice. Nice. And they can compete fifth through eighth grade.
Yeah, fifth through eighth grade students are allowed to try out and compete. And it's been a really competitive year. This league's been actually really competitive overall. So it's been a lot of fun.
So how does competing in sports, and this is, you know, from a player's perspective, the two of you have played sports, but also coaching on the other end, how does athletics benefit a child? Not just, you know, like with their physical development, but their mental capacity, their ability to work together. Like what are the benefits of kids participating in organized sports?
I mean, confidence is one big thing. I think, building that confidence, building perseverance, learning the value of like hard work and how that can pay off, especially when you can see those results on the field. And knowing that it's not immediate, you know, seeing as it's a long-term investment to try and get better and improve at something, learning how to work with others, teamwork. I think those are all really important lessons to learn.
Yeah, a big thing we preach over at Saguaro is being accountable. And that carries not only through baseball, but school and life. We tell the boys, if you can't be here early and on time, what makes you think, if you're not going to be here for something that you like and enjoy when you're out of school, you're not going to show up on time or early to your job. And if we're not going to keep you accountable here, you're going to expect that later on in life. And we tell them all the time, you can't take that same kind of immature young mentality that you have as freshmen, eighth graders coming in, and expect that to work. You have to be able to not only keep yourself accountable, but your teammates. Because at the end of the day, it's a team that's going to win the game, especially a baseball game. It's nine players, not just one person.
Yeah, there's so much that sports can teach one about life. It's not even about a bat and a ball or a ball and a hoop, right? It's just another forum to build self-discipline and to learn more about yourself and others and the world around you, right?
Yeah, exactly. And also just the idea that, you know, there's so many kids, I think, and that they play sports and their parents push them into sports and they think that they're going to just go to college and get this scholarship. And I mean, I think sometimes we get wrapped up in that end goal that we miss all the lessons that you get for the rest of life, because very few people get scholarships to play in college. Like, I mean, how many kids on your team when you played high school baseball went and played college ball?
Let's see. From my senior class, it was two of us, and only one stuck it out for 4 years.
Yeah.
So it's, I mean, there's, I think it's like, something like 10% of high school athletes or 5% of high school athletes go on to play college. Mm. And then an even smaller amount after that go on to play pro. And I mean, you have to be able to fail, and you have to be okay with being able to fail. Mm. I think that's something too, that sports does teach. Baseball is a game of failure. You fail 7 out of 10 times and you're a Hall of Famer or an all-star. Yeah. But it's those 7 times and how you deal with it is what makes you, or is what's going to make you become successful. It's going to get you that third hit, that second hit, out of 10 at bats. But you have to mentally be prepared to fail, and you have to mentally be prepared to bounce back from that.
I think that's such an important message for parents to reiterate with their kids who have athletes that, you know, I know this comment might get some, you know, might be easy to criticize, but like, it's not about the wins and losses. I mean, yes, winning is the objective. Mm-hmm. That is one objective, yeah. Right? But I would argue that there are many other kind of daily, weekly, seasonal objectives, which is all about self-development, right? Yeah. It's about developing self. It's about developing mental, you know, perseverance and teamwork and flexibility, and knowing how to take direction, learning how to lead, knowing when to kind of straddle those two like mentalities. So no, I think that's a huge message for the athletes, but also for the parents, right?
Yeah, and that perseverance is really an important lesson to learn. I just think that so many people get stuck. They find themselves getting stuck when they find something difficult or hard to do. And in sports, when you struggle, like you struggle, and you can't hide from it either on the field. Like when you're in a slump, you're out there and everybody can see it. Everybody that's at the game can see you struggling, either missing shots or swinging and missing, making errors. And you have to find a way to persevere through that. And I think that's one of the most important things you can learn, because life can be really difficult at times. It's not easy all the time. And I think being able to learn how to push past hard times is a really important skill and something that there's a lot of value in.
So you guys are both coaches. You've played sports growing up. You also are PE teachers. So PE stands for physical education. Random side note, I moved here from the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, Midwest, 17, 18 years ago, taught fifth grade, my first class down here. And at my previous school, we taught all the subjects as classroom teachers, including PE. And I remember my first group of students, and I had, you know, on the board all the subjects for the day and when we were going to do them. And up north, we called PE Phy-Ed.
Okay.
Phyed. And we got Phy-Ed at this time. And the kid's like, what's Phy-Ed? What are you talking about? And I learned real quick, okay, down here we call it PE. It's for physical education. So you guys are physical education teachers here. What's the difference between physical activity and physical education? How would you decipher between the two?
Yeah. I think physical activity is something that anyone is capable of. Physical activity is going outside and moving around, staying active. I think physical education might be a little more creating those relationships. And then, like we kind of talked about, being able to not only handle failing in whatever new sport or sport you've played before, being able to fail and being able to handle that failure, not only for yourself, but handle your teammates' failures. I think in middle school, especially when we're playing these sports, it's really easy just to yell at one player on your team for messing up. And I mean, not every person in PE is going to be an all-star athlete. Some of the kids don't want to take PE. But I do tell them very often that attitude and effort are the two things that they can control in class. So as long as, I mean, they're there to learn and to get better and not to put down other people. They're there to bring people up and to accept failure. I'm pretty happy with that for my students for the most part. And I think the education portion kind of not makes them necessarily, but focuses more on building those relationships and kind of showing them the correct path in terms of physical education and sports, and that it's not all just being the best at everything. It's being able to work as a team, being able to
absolutely right. Yeah. All those character traits, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a big component. That's one of the big standards in our PE curriculum that we follow is the social aspect of PE and how they treat other people and how they treat officials, teammates, opponents. Like, that's a huge part of it. And there's also the skill component too, where, you know, we have to teach them, especially me being at the elementary level, teaching kids how to throw, how to catch, how to skip, how to jump rope, you know, breaking down all of these skills into things that they can practice and they can improve on so that they can go out and play sports. And so they can, you know, maybe find an activity that they enjoy, you know, that can become a lifelong hobby, passion, something for them to keep them active throughout their life. So yeah, physical education is very different than physical activity. Physical activity is just moving around, and physical education is really understanding how your body's working, you know, how flexible you are, what flexibility means, cardiovascular endurance, what that means, you know, muscular strength. Those are the types of things that really make up the education part of physical education.
So you guys work on a 10-acre campus. We kind of have a unique space here. We don't have a large indoor gymnasium. Indoor campus is all outdoors. What are the benefits of that? Your office is this mountain view out here and birds chirping and most of the time sun and some decent weather down here. What do you enjoy most about being a PE teacher on our outdoor campus here?
I enjoy just the aspect of them having to be outside. I mean, in an indoor gym, it's really easy to kind of get away and kind of hide from the outside world and not want to do much. But being outside, it kind of forces you to be around other people, and to take in all of your surroundings. The indoor gym is a very controlled environment, which isn't a bad thing, definitely at the middle school level. And there are a lot more distractions out here being an outdoor campus, but it allows them to see those distractions and kind of reel in their focus back to what we're doing. It allows them to see distractions and not let them take us away from what we're actually trying to do. And I think this campus is really big, and it allows for a lot more activities, I think, than what people think.
Yeah, you know, I love being outside. Most of the time, the weather's great. Being able to have, like you said, the birds and, you know, a nice breeze. I really just enjoy being outside with the kids. Like, when it rains and I have to go inside, I find that a little confining and restricting. I like being outside where the kids, if they're noisy, it's not that big of a deal because we're outside and it's not disrupting like a class next door. And yeah, it just, like you said, having all that space, having all the areas that we can use as far as activities. I mean, and you can't beat the view of the mountains,
right?
Like, yes, you can't great. Beat that.
I think it's easy to take for granted because, you know, you hear stories of people who have to be, like, for medical reasons, like they're cooped up inside, like in a bed or in, you know, in this like controlled environment for extended period of time. And after a while, what do they long for? Like sun on the face, a breeze, right? Like being outside. I think there's just something that like the human soul just yearns for that. And for us to have that every single day, mm-hmm. I think it can be easy to take for granted, but it just, I like how you said that, Andreas, like it kind of forces them to be out in those elements, whether it's a breezy or a little cool, a little warm. Like I think it can in a way build just a little bit of like physical resilience too.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, this generation that's coming up, like I feel like they don't spend as much time outside naturally as what I did when I was growing up. You know, I feel like there's a lot more kids who are inside and they're on screens or they're, you know, playing video games, doing something else, and they don't get outside as much. And I think people forget how great it is for kids to be outside, and that at their basic instinct, kids want to be outside running around. Like the second they get out to the field, what do? They take off running. The second they get to the playground, they take off running. It doesn't matter if it's the most athletic kid or the least athletic kid, they're out there and they're moving their bodies. So there's something about getting them outside that kind of sparks that excitement and that little bit of that curiosity and gets them moving around.
It is such a beautiful thing to see. You know, my office is right by the field here. And, you know, if I'm walking up to the main office or, you know, just outside here and just watching kids during PE or during recess, seeing a kid just run right? They're not, no other purpose necessarily. And then like some buddies start running with them. There's just, they're free, right? And just feeling the breeze and the sun and then the grass, just running it's fun to see the, just the joy at the purest level that something like that, can do. In PE, like how do you motivate your students and ensure high levels of participation? Because I'm sure you have some students on some days that are just are not into it. So PE is a very different environment than say like in a classroom setting. So what have you learned are great ways to help motivate and just ensure you've got high levels of engagement every day, every week, every month?
I mean, that a lot of times the motivation depends on the kid, you know. I mean, there's, they come to your classroom and you never know what the rest of their day has been like. You don't know if they've, you know, been arguing with a friend or their parents were mad at them before they left school. So I always like to remind kids that this is a great time to forget about whatever problems that they had earlier on in the day, whatever's going on, that doesn't matter. This is a time to come and run around and move your body. And a lot of times that moving your body, it helps you feel better. It just naturally makes you feel better. And I really feel like at the grade levels that I teach, I think I've got an advantage because most kids are still excited to come out and they see PE as like this really cool thing that they get to do. And you don't have the kids falling off, like having the losing interest, I mean, in activity. Like that starts happening a little bit older. And I don't have to struggle with that as much as Andres does, even though they sign up for his class, you know, they still, you know, they get to that age where it takes a little bit more of a push to get them to participate. Hmm. I don't have to do as much of that. I just have to refocus that energy in the direction that I want it to go.
And what does that push kind of look like for you, Andres? You're working with preteens, teenagers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Talk to us about how you kind of work with that age group.
Yeah. It's funny. If you ever watch my PE classes, my second period, I think I have maybe 2 eighth graders, 3 eighth graders that run their entire lap and the rest are just a little too cool for it. And they'll walk or they don't want to sweat in their clothes and they'll walk. I don't overdo it. I don't yell at them to get going and run because I know that's not only going to hurt me in the long run from kind of losing their interest, but they're going to be upset with me. They're mm-hmm. not going to want to play a sport for the day. And when you see my fourth period class, my sixth graders, new to middle school, they take off. As soon as I tell them we got one lap in stretching there, I think I have maybe 2 or 3 kids that will run half a lap and walk the rest, but all the rest are taking off running their lap as soon as they can. And that's, I mean, I love getting to that class because it's refreshing. It's nice to see, not nice to see, but not that the eighth graders and seventh graders don't enjoy being in there, but kind of that different perspective, a fresh set of eyes, a fresh brain, just coming into middle school, not knowing what you're going to get.
There's a big difference between sixth grade and seventh grade. Mm-hmm. For those that haven't worked with middle schoolers before, it's crazy how 1 year of development, and Tim, you know this from coaching in middle school, even though your PE is K-5. Yeah, something happens between sixth and seventh grade mm-hmm. where, I don't know, just their approach to life, school, adults, teachers, just kind of shifts a little bit. Now, that's a bad thing. I mean, that's developmentally appropriate, but yeah. It does impact how you kind of prepare to engage and motivate them.
Absolutely. My eighth graders, what I find helps a little bit, letting them once every couple weeks, kind of letting them choose the day. What activity are we doing that day? Or like on these testing days, it can be long. Mm-hmm. So we'll do a sport that I choose for an hour, and then I'll let you guys choose the next two sports for the half hour. But I try and make sure that everyone is doing something. Everyone's walking around, at the very least walking around. If they don't want to play the sport for that day, that's completely okay. But I do ask that they at least walk laps, do some sort of physical activity. Mm-hmm. 'Cause sitting down and doing nothing, it doesn't benefit anybody. Even if you are hurt, broken arm, broken hand, leg, sitting there for 50 minutes watching everyone else have fun isn't not only, it's not only fun for you, but it's not mentally rewarding or really probably healthy for you. So I do find something for them to kind of stay busy with if they're not choosing to or wanting to participate in that day's activity, or we have workout Wednesdays. For the most part, everyone does participate in workout Wednesdays, because I tell them, I'm like, we got 30 minutes in here. It'll be nice and quick. You guys will have 5 minutes, 10 minutes after maybe to kind of have a little bit of free time. But that workout always seems to take up about 25, 26 minutes.
Break that down. Workout Wednesdays. What does that look like?
Workout Wednesdays. first thing the kids say to me on Workout Wednesdays are we working out today? And I
you're just like, we're three quarters of the way into the year, buddy. I think you've got this figured out, right?
Right. I just look at them and I go, it's Workout Wednesday. You're dang right, we're working out today. And I get a few kids that try and say, can we play kickball, or let's move the workout to Friday. And early on in the year, I moved a couple around, but I just, they're not going to want to work out for 50 minutes in a whole class period. So that half day, I find kind of easy to reset and to get them all moving around. I mean, they all do participate in all the workouts. Some people, obviously, or some kids perform better than others, but at the end of the day, I tell them, as long as you're giving me your effort and you're giving me a good attitude about it, I don't care how well you do on your workout.
So what workouts are they doing? What exercises?
Yes. So last Wednesday, we did a little bit of a track and field style relay race.
Nice.
But they do a lot of body weight movements. They'll do walkout push-ups. They'll do lunges. They'll do frog leaps. We do some ab workouts. We mix in some straight leg kicks and some plank holds. And I think, too, the workout not only helps them physically but mentally, because it's something that we all do together. And I always remembered my coach saying, like, this sucks, but it sucks together. We're all here together doing it. And it gives us something to all kind of to like bond over.
Yeah.
If anything. And when we are doing our planks, I'll kind of give them an ultimatum. If we have multiple sets and say, if everyone gets this set or everyone stays up for 45 seconds on this plank, we're done. We won't do it again, but if someone drops, one person drops, we're doing another 45 seconds.
Some healthy peer pressure, huh?
Yes, and they're all looking around. They're all yelling at each other. I mean, not yelling at each other in a bad way, but they're like, stay up, stay up. You're okay. Work through it. And it's good to see that at this middle school level. I really do enjoy that.
You know, you don't need weights to get a good workout in. I mean, calisthenics are the real deal. I mean, personally, I started weaving that in a couple days a week, and I mean, it's hard.
Yeah.
That's sometimes harder than like throwing heavy weight around to have this consistent movement that engages all these different muscle groups within a 30-minute period. I mean, anyone listening, you know, you don't need a weight room, a gym membership. Like, you just need the floor and, you know, look up a couple of calisthenic exercises and do that every day for 30 minutes for a month. Watch what happens.
Yes.
Right? It's a great, great way to exercise. Tim, tell us about your fifth grade hiking project. Every year for a handful of years, right? You've taken your kids up to the mountains.
Yeah, up to Sabino Canyon. So
tell us about that project.
It is something I love doing every year because it's different. And I find there's always, you know, sometimes a handful of kids, sometimes it's half the class that has never been to Sabino Canyon before, and they've never been on a hike. They've never been out in nature. And so it's really cool to introduce them to something in our city that's just a beautiful place to go. It's our little oasis. And I started this, the first fifth graders I did this with, they can be in their fourth year of college. So some of them are graduating college from that very first group. And it is just something that I wanted to do. I wanted to teach kids the value of going outdoors and how to safely prepare for a hike and how to safely go out and hike, what we can do to, you know, if anything happens, how can we be safe? How can we be prepared for the worst possible scenario? And just go out and enjoy nature. And so it's a 6-mile round trip hike about. We do a loop through Sabino Canyon where we take a couple different trails. We end up taking the Phone Line Link Trail, which is the hardest part of our hike. We gain, I think, 600 feet of elevation in about 0.6 miles. So you get up there and you have a great view of the canyon. You have a great view of the city. You can see all the way out to A Mountain on a clear day. And it is by far one of my favorite things that I do every year because it is so different. You know, it's not, hey, we're coming out and running around and playing this game, or we're throwing a ball and practicing stuff. It's something for the athletes that they can enjoy, and it's something for the kids that aren't athletes that they can enjoy too.
And you've had some years where the kids will produce, say, like a outdoor survival guide brochure or something, right? So it's more than just, hey, let's just go out and hike, right? You know, project-based learning has like this enduring understanding. So like, you know, what's the idea 10 years from this activity that you would want kids to remember, you know, through this experience kind of thing, right?
Yeah, exactly. We've started producing the past couple of years a brochure that they can put together, like what you would see in a National Park Service if you went in and they gave you a brochure talking about the area that you were hiking in. The brochure that I'm having them do deals more with the rules for safe hiking and equipment they should have for hiking. And I asked them to talk a little bit about, you know, what they might see in the canyon, you know, to be creative with it. And so, like you said, the big idea for them is that 10 years from now, if they want to go on a hike, you know, they know what to pack, they know how to prepare, they know how to be safe for it. And they can be that person that takes people with them and knows how to do it and knows mm-hmm. what they're doing. That's really my goal is to introduce some kids and hopefully inspire them to go and explore and take a look. Hey, there's Mount Lemmons right there. We've got beautiful trails that you can hike during the summer when it's hot. And you've got Sabino Canyon you can hike when it's not quite as hot. And there's water that you can go out and see. And there's wildlife. I mean, we've seen, last year we saw deer on the hike. This year we saw a rattlesnake, the first ever rattlesnake I saw on this fifth grade hike was this year. Just went right in front of the trail in front of us. We saw coati with my last group that went out. Those are things that, you know, they're going to stick with kids. And they're going to remember like, oh my, you can see this in Tucson. We can go hiking, we can play in water, and we can see this wildlife. Like, how amazing is that?
I think one of the coolest things about physical education is, like, by nature, it provides kids with experiences, you know, physical experiences. Maybe not, you know, grand hikes all the time, but they're having experiences with one another, like I said, with teammates, with their environment. And those experiences, with a little, you know, sprinkling in some explanation can help, you know, can stick with them, you know, years down the road, right? And speaking of like life lessons, let's wrap up with this question here. As an athlete, PE teacher, coach, I mean, we kind of hinted at this a little bit at the beginning, but what are some life lessons that y'all have learned? You kind of talk about how you are looking to mold and shape, you know, your athletes, your students, to see PE as more than just physical activity. But how about yourself? Like, what are some important life lessons you've learned through your experience as an athlete and PE teacher and coach?
Athletes, I learned at a young age that there's more expected of you, not necessarily on the physical and the physical aspect of it, but my parents always, I always did well in school, or not well, but I did better in school during baseball season. I don't know if that was because I was a little more accountable during baseball season. I was making sure that I was at practice, making sure that I had all my stuff, and in that kind of translated to making sure I had all my schoolwork done before I went to practice. I finished my homework after games. That happened my whole life. In high school and middle school, I always had better grades during baseball season. And I think that kind of translates to holding myself accountable outside of baseball as well. I mean, I held myself accountable there, but there were other aspects in my life that I could see were kind of, I was letting slip or not paying as much attention to, relationships, school, all that stuff. And that's very important. And that's, I tell all these middle schoolers, like, it's, I get it, being an athlete is cool and everything, but if you're not getting your education with it, if you're not learning anything from being an athlete besides learning your sport, you're not getting anything out of it. You're just going to play your sport for 8 years and be left with nothing. Be left with an identity crisis. You got to have something outside of sports to represent yourself.
You know, I think I learned a lot about perseverance. You know, for me, being pulled out of sports, being told I couldn't play anymore, was really hard. Because especially at a young age, I didn't even get a chance to try out for high school baseball. And I loved playing baseball. That was like my thing. That was my favorite thing to do. And that's all I wanted to do. And, you know, sports, you know, it's crazy as it sounds, sports actually really helped me get through that time and find something else to focus that passion and that energy on. So I think perseverance is a really important lesson to learn. I also learned a lot of patience too. You know, I mean, especially playing baseball. Baseball's not the action sport where you're running around and in the middle of the action all the time. You know, you have to wait your turn to bat. You're out in the field and you have to be focused every single play. You don't know if the ball is going to come to you or not, and you have to be ready for it. And you just have to kind of wait for your time to have that moment to make a play, to, you know, get that pitch that you want, to hit the ball, to do something for your team. You know, and then teamwork and working with other people and being able to be a good teammate. I think those are really great, important lessons. And I'm sorry, I just keep seeing, I don't know what they're doing in social studies out there, but they're smacking each other with pool noodles, and I keep seeing that out of the corner of my eye.
We are down by the action here in my office, aren't we?
Yeah, Mr. Kiva's got them doing something really fun out there. Yeah,
well, and that's kind of a fun little segue here. I'll end with this, is that, you know, PE actually can be a great venue to teach other subjects. I mean, we see Mr. Kivett out there right now. He's our humanities teacher. Yep. This kid's moving around, probably, you know, learning some history lessons through, you know, using poodle noodles and running around, right?
Yeah.
So it can be a real versatile subject, actually.
Yeah. I mean, math and science, if you like sports, you like statistics. That's math. And science, I mean, especially now you look at baseball, they're talking about exit velocity, they're talking launch angle, they're talking about how much spin you get on a baseball. It's all physics. Like, there's so much science in sports, and there's a lot of things that can be used, I think, to connect physical education with other subjects. Like, so much out there.
Yeah.
Like, that barely even scratches the surface, I think.
And then the history of sports, right? Looking at cultures and different eras and what influences sport. And
yeah, sports they've been a part of a lot of countries' identity for a long time. Soccer in Europe, and then we had baseball in the United States in late 1800s. It was something that not only gave people a pastime or gave people something to watch, kind of distract themselves with, but it brought them kind of together and gave them all something to kind of root for. And that's just, I mean, that could be just a lot of different cases, not just one specific sports team, but lots of countries kind of, they did or do rely on their sports team kind of as their identity.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's crazy. Like, the World Cup, I mean, the countries stop wars for that.
Yeah.
Right. To come together and watch their country compete in this, and, you know, the Olympics too. I mean, there's a lot of kind of healing and unity, like, powers in sports, right? So tons of, like, humanities kind of history angles you could take in PE as well. Gentlemen, appreciate what you two do for our K-8 population here, keeping them active, keeping them physically educated, the coaching you do. I mean, you guys do so much more than just, you know, teach sports. You really teach a lot of life lessons, and you do it really well, and appreciate you doing what you do every day and coming on today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.